This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on a Monday morning on SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. I think there's a majestic beauty to certain basketball plays, right? The ones that just that captivate us, the ones that have this sort of beautiful look to them when you take a photograph or a still look. I've seen so many of these different angles of Kawhi Leonard's shot, and it really is amazing the angles of which Joel Embiid tries to go after the block and which Kawhi is just expertly trying to fade away just enough to release this. But I also, as I was talking about earlier this morning, there is this, the beauty of Kawhi's shot was the suspense, the just a half a second of suspense that it laid out when it was just bouncing on the rim. And knowing that the fate of either franchise was laid in the balance of whether or not that was going to fall. Now, not really so much in the Toronto side. The game was tied. But you don't know how the Sixers would have played out in an overtime situation. But for the Sixers, knowing that if that ball went in, there was going to be all of these questions about them in the season. The Sixers are not a team that is going to regroup and recharge for next season. They've got a lot of questions that they have to answer. First and foremost, at the center of it, is whether or not Brett Brown gets to stay and come back next season. Now, we've been hearing reports that Brett Brown has been basically coaching for his job, that he needs to get out of the second round. The Philadelphia ownership has sort of indicated that getting out of the second round is crucial for Brett Brown's retirement. Now, obviously, we'll see. Maybe there's the emotion of the moment might settle into the more business aspect of it, and they might realize, well, maybe Brett Brown is the right guy for this. Or maybe they really do say, no, there's some work here. We're going to work on keeping the roster or adding or subtracting from the roster, but we do need somebody different at the helm. And don't weep for Brett Brown. He'll find another gig because he's that good of a coach. He just may not be the right fit for Philadelphia. But as I said, there is this beauty in the Kawhi Leonard shot, just the way the both players angle themselves to take it. It's really amazing. And basketball, for all of its warts, sometimes can give us really, really poetic, nice moments. And this shot, whether you are on the losing end of that or the winning end of this, was pretty fitting for a pretty up and down series. And an up and down series for both teams to have it end on a buzzer beater almost seems fitting. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so last night on Game of Thrones, Aaron Rodgers made his cameo appearance. He was a soldier in the Army. Well done,
spoiler!
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, spoiler. I didn't even recognize him. I had to look it up. The story came out, he was in it, and I had to look it up because I was like, I watched it. I didn't see Aaron Rodgers anywhere.
So he wasn't.
And then they showed the scene, and I was like, oh, there he goes. I recognize him now.
I thought for sure he was just going to be a random nightwalker.
Yeah, I thought so too. When there was rumors that he was going to make a cameo, I thought they were going to dress him up like Walking Dead zombie and just be like one of those guys.
Have we had that, by the way?
What, the Walking Dead cameo?
Yeah. I feel like we should have by now, right?
By somebody like an athlete or something?
Or just, I mean, any pseudo-celebrity.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Maybe so. It's kind of cool to be on, to get a cameo. Like, you know, if you like a show and that you get put on it, that's kind of neat. I saw that Emilia Clarke, I think that's how you pronounce her first name.
Yep.
She plays Daenerys. She was at the Rockets game.
She was.
Friday night. What was she doing at the Rockets game?
Is
she
jinxing them?
Everybody seems to die in front of her. Is she a basketball fan? Or was she, did anybody ask her if she was?
I have no idea.
Didn't have her
so
on the local
random
news the next day?
She can't be a basketball fan. She's from
Yeah, they don't
England.
Like basketball in England. What is she talking about? That was kind of neat. the Rocket mascot did a coffee cup thing with her, and she kind of was laughing hysterically over it and seemed to enjoy the attention being on the front row of the Rockets game allows her to be.
Yeah, but that is kind of random. I don't, you know, is she a Warriors fan or is she a Rockets fan?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, I see it and I go, oh, really? She was there? Wow. And then I saw it on Twitter that she was there. And then when I saw the video, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Now Jay-Z and Beyonce were there, but that makes sense.
That does make sense. Yeah,
that's Beyonce's hometown. You gotta root for the team.
Yeah, and no, that does make sense. But her, I mean, I don't know. Maybe she's connected some way. I heard that. What's the guy's name that is on Big Bang? Jim Parsons.
Yep.
Big Bang Theory. He's a huge Rockets fan.
Yeah.
Huge Rockets fan.
But he's. Yeah. I think he's been busy.
Yeah. And, well, the Rockets are no longer busy. And from what I've heard, you can get together.
Even though I haven't watched really an episode this season or watched one in a long time. I've heard, you know, the Big Bang Theory is, I think, probably having a better series finale season than Game of Thrones. Is that
really
safe to say? Yeah, I mean, really.
I could.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, there's not, I guess, as much hype around the Big Bang Theory in their final season.
Is this their final season?
This is their final season.
Oh, okay. So this is going to end.
They're ending it. I think there's, for them, they only have one episode left.
All right. So I know how Big Bang Theory is going to end. Somehow the camera at the end is going to pan to a young Sheldon and he's going to be shaking a snow globe. I don't know. Just like St. Elsewhere. That was a little bit too old of a reference. Okay. I'm trying to think of something else.
Well, I don't know if that'll happen because there is a TV show called Young Sheldon.
No, I mean the character who plays Young Sheldon.
Okay, he's going to be
shaking a snow globe like in St. Elsewhere, and that's how it's going to end. Because St. Elsewhere, do you remember that show with Howie Mandel?
Yeah, but I don't remember the ending.
It ended with an autistic child shaking a snow globe with the St. Elsewhere hospital in it. Basically, the whole thing was a part of his imagination.
See,
if you imagine that whole thing.
And if you're going to do the whole dream thing, we said it last week, got to go Bob Newhart.
You got to go Bob Newhart if you're going to do that.
If you're going to do the dream sequence. Because then Roseanne, she did a dream thing too, right?
She, at the end of her episode, there was, well, Roseanne was rolling along, and then there was a period where, like,
she won the lottery
or whatever. And then that part, you find out at their season finale that Dan had died.
Right.
And that made it, and that's how it ended. She wrote a book or she was writing something. And then when they rebrought the show back, they basically paid a little homage to that, but they just ignored it. They just threw it in the toilet and said, nah, we were never really messing around with this. So yeah, no kidding. So good for her to go to the Rockets game, having a good time watching some American basketball.
And for her to be a good sport about the cup. The coffee cup.
That's true. She had a really good time with the guy. She laughed and laughed.
Well, because I've seen a few interviews with other cast members who have been giving her a hard time, saying that's hers.
And that was her cup.
They say that was hers because she drinks coffee like a fanatic.
Probably
apparently,
was.
but she said that she's like, I've never even been to Starbucks.
Yeah,
but you know, upon further review, that wasn't a Starbucks coffee cup. We're just
really
calling
she
it
hasn't
Starbucks.
Been to Starbucks. Really?
Well,
come on.
Okay, maybe. She's definitely been to Starbucks. Maybe she was saying that day she hadn't gone to Starbucks.
Yeah.
I think everyone's it's like going to Starbucks is like going to the dentist. Everyone does it.
Everybody does it at least. People have done it at least once. There is a thing where you feel like you sound a little cooler if you're not doing something everybody else is doing. You see it all the time. Especially with like Game of Thrones, or like, am I the only person who haven't seen an episode of Game of Thrones? Yeah, probably.
Yep.
Don't stop patting yourself on the back.
Loser.
Big deal. It's good television. Yeah. I watch it because it's good television.
Go get a TV.
Yeah, it's like, all right, go back to doing whatever it is you're doing. I couldn't care less. You either watch it or you don't.
I mean, who hasn't, you know, left work and before dinner time stop by McDonald's and gorge yourself on food before you have a dinner that your spouse prepared?
Hey, Lord knows.
That's not weird.
In my massively chubby days, I used to order two drinks to ward off the scent of failure when I would just order a lot of sandwiches to get sometimes. And I did this once and I'm not embarrassed to admit this. One time I really wanted to just gouge fast food, and I pretended I was making a cell phone call, getting an order from the house so that the person wouldn't judge me when I ordered a number of sandwiches and one soda.
God, I don't know if I should.
That was way back in the day.
I don't know how I should. Wow,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm like, hello. Oh, will you want some chicken nuggets? I need chicken nuggets too.
But seriously, who hasn't done that before, right?
Of course not.
Who hasn't ordered three drinks to make it seem like you're buying for the whole family?
Don't judge me, you know, teenager behind the counter.
I feel that way every single time. That whenever I'm ordering and I got my kids in the car and they're quiet, or the whole family's in the car, I'm so relieved when I pull up to the window to pay that they can see the rest of my family.
Oh, no kidding.
I'll even roll down the window.
Sure.
Because, you know, there's some guilt in it when, you know, you're ordering a kid's meal. And so there are times where I just order nothing but a kid's meal because I'm not that hungry. But, you know, kid in the back wants it, or they want this fast food, but I want something different. So I'll order a kid's meal, but I always feel guilty. Like, oh, you're probably thinking I'm cheating the system.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Just here for the toy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So nevertheless, good job, Aaron Rodgers, getting a cameo in Game of Thrones. I'm not going to tell you what happens to him. I won't give you a spoiler alert.
Okay.
Because I don't know what happened to him, because I barely remember seeing him on the show.
So he doesn't have a R-E-L-A-X moment?
No.
Like, that's the battle is waning one way, and he just rallies the troops and go, guys, relax.
Now, a cameo, if I'm not mistaken, a cameo is defined as a recognizable person that gets a very small part in a role, right? So let's say I get on Game of Thrones. That's not a cameo because I'm not a star. So that would be just me being a, I don't know, what do you call those people? Like a filler. What do you call those actors that are like in the background of things? You know, like, oh, you're gonna sit with this woman in the back of a cafe while the movie stars are talking about their dates. And you're just going to sit and pretend you're like having a casual conversation in the background. That's what I would do. Like, but Aaron Rodgers doing that same role, he gets a cameo because he's a star. But he does. I don't remember him speaking, so I wish he would have a speaking role. But I think it's a little higher up the food chain. Don't you need a SAG card for that or something like that?
Well, I mean,
see, I don't know. I'm asking you, and you don't know either. But no,
but
wondering.
I do know how you get a SAG card.
But do you need a SAG card?
No, you don't need a SAG card.
To get a speaking role?
No.
You get a credit.
You can get a credit. I mean, you won't be. See, that's the thing. You won't. If you don't have a speaking role, you're not mentioned in the credits.
Right. What I'm saying is if you get a speaking role, don't you need a SAG card because you're going to get a credit?
Well, see, the problem is you can't get a SAG card unless you have a credit coming towards you.
This sounds like a really complex system.
It's a total catch 22.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, you in order to obtain a SAG card, you have to appear in a SAG affiliated show. But you cannot appear in a SAG affiliated show unless you have a SAG card.
Gotcha. Okay.
So somehow, some way, at some point, somebody just turns a blind eye.
Wow.
But I think for like cameos and roles of that nature, I think it's always overlooked. And just like, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers probably has a SAG card. He's doing all those State Farm commercials.
That's probably true. So, I don't know how that crazy, crazy world works, but I'm sure he does. But nevertheless, so if he's got a SAG card, I wish they had given him a line.
Yes.
I wish they had given him a line last night.
They should have.
Now,
so we could see him.
I may have to rewatch the episode. I may have to rewatch it just to make sure he doesn't have a line, but I don't think he did. I don't think he had a line in the show last night. And I wish he did.
I wish he said relax.
Because I wish he had to say it in a British accent. Like everybody on that show has to have one in medieval times. Everybody talks in British accents. I'd like to see Aaron Rodgers do that. I like it, you know. I like the little acting chops. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, back to football, because Browns general manager John Dorsey said something interesting about Browns fans that may have angered someone like Aaron Rodgers. That's next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop, so don't take a risk on a dead battery. O'Reilly Auto Parts provides free battery testing. If your battery does need to be replaced, professional parts people can find the exact battery that fits your car or truck with free installation. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. John Dorsey, general manager of the Browns, says their fan base more passionate than the ones he had when he was in Green Bay. Says the fan base of the Cleveland Browns more passionate than Green Bay Packer fans, he told a local TV station. Says the views on the Browns and Packers are similar franchise historical. That means a lot, but there's a lot of similarities between Green Bay Packers and Cleveland Browns because those are iconic years early on. That's why I'm so ecstatic to be here, because this is the Cleveland Browns. You can go back to Paul Brown. If it wasn't for Paul Brown, I probably wouldn't have a job because he basically evolved scouting. You know, listen, I love when people get into this debate about passionate fans versus which passionate fans are better than the others. Is that really a tangible, measurable thing? I mean, I know it's fun to say that because you're with Cleveland and you're working for Cleveland and there's a fan base you can just pat on the back and say, well done, fans who are going crazy for our draft picks and are really excited about our future. But reality is that a lot of fan bases in the NFL are very, very passionate. And yes, there are teams that sell out that they've been terrible. The Browns, I give a lot of credit for it. I would definitely put them on near the top of the list. I mean, they've been bad for 20 years, right? And they continue to support the team and love the team and want to, you know. But at the same time, I don't think Green Bay Packer fans, for example, would be apathetic, which is the opposite of you know, passionate. It's not angry. It's when you don't care anymore. And I don't think Packer fans would disappear if the Packers all of a sudden were terrible.
Well, they couldn't. Packer right? fan owns Packers.
What are you going to do? Right? You can. It's where are you going to go? But you know, like the Steelers.
What else is in Green Bay?
Go to really? A Steelers road game, for crying out loud! I mean, my God, they're everywhere. One of my favorite commercials that ESPN ever did was the. It's because I'm a Steeler fan. Was the one where they had towels around the world. Where they were showing people from around the world waving their terrible towels. It's great. It's a great ad. I love it. It's very fun. But do I agree that Browns fans are more passionate than Packers fans? Here's the deal. I have no idea. Right? I have no idea. I think it's fun to say that when you're working for Cleveland. But my God, I mean, look, there are fan bases. I mean, you ever go to you ever see an NFL game on TV like in Jacksonville when they stink and it's like half the stadium isn't there?
Yep.
It's, yeah, that's atrocious. What you want is you want the fan base to continue to come out, and even if they boo and they're disappointed, at least they're into what you're doing. They're not going to disappear. They're not going to go away. They demand excellence. They're demanding something from you when you're not playing particularly well. The problem is in Cleveland, all of that demanding hasn't led to anything. They still haven't had a winning record in a long time. So it doesn't lead to anything. But what you want is you got to find a way as a fan base, you want to make sure that you're kind of tapping into that and rewarding it and making it so that, you know, hey, listen, there's some payoff, you know, there's payoff on the other end. But good, it was, you know, listen, I like John Dorsey. He's turning things around. I'm looking forward to seeing where the Browns go and how well they play. But, you know, not ready to jump on the train yet.
Yeah. How many times is he's been GM of the year, right?
No, that's a good question. It probably has.
It's got to be.
Got to be. It's one of the more brilliant general managers in the league. Right?
So, what he has done there has been phenomenal.
Well, I mean, this 7-8-1 season that they just had, I mean, for, you know, they treated the Browns were treated in by the NFL media as if 7-8-1 was like 12-4. I mean, I think a lot of it was they were so competitive in so many games. I mean, they really showed up to play in a lot of them. There are a few games that were duds, but you expect that in a 16-game season. But they really were competitive in a lot of games. They lost a lot of games close, and real close. And if they could have just spun it around a little bit, they would have popped.
You ready for your answer?
Yes.
Jim Dorsey has been, well, I guess it's Executive of the Year.
Executive of the Year.
He has been named Executive of the Year in 2013 with the Chiefs.
Oh, okay. That makes some sense.
But for the last couple of years, no, not yet. I mean, last year was Chris Ballard with the Colts.
Okay.
Howie Roseman.
That makes sense.
Howie Roseman with the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl. Reggie McKenzie with the Raiders.
Right.
In 2000. Well, hold up.
Did John Elway win it?
2000. No. I don't even think he was on the voting block.
No, general executive of the year, John Elway, didn't win it.
He hasn't won yet.
I gotta look that up because I think he won.
No, I'm looking at the list right here.
No. There's another thing I'm thinking of. He won something because they won a Super Bowl.
Because I'll tell you this much: the person who's going to get for executive of the year, it's an award they've been giving out since '93. It'll be named the Bill Polian Award by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, it's probably true.
He has won it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times.
Wow. That's nice.
That's pretty good.
That's well done. Yeah. Who's like if you were to guess who's the most apathetic fan base in the NFL, would it be Jacksonville?
Yeah. In the NFL.
Because here's the thing, we always peg it with Jacksonville, but is that really true?
Well, I mean they're developing a fan base in England, right?
I would hope
so. They play half their games there now.
I mean, they go over there once a year for crying out loud. They better be building a fan base there. That's the team. That's their apparent new destination. Should something ever happen to them? But Miami Miami's got a good fan base, but man, they don't sell out playoff games.
I'll throw out another name, and it pains me to say it.
What?
Chargers.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
It really pains me to say it, but
exactly.
Listen, I'm going to venture a guess to say they had about 14 road games last year.
Yeah, they got nothing. They got nothing.
I mean, the only way they have, I guess the only way they'll have a true road game is if they're playing against the Jaguars.
Yeah, they're right.
They play anybody else, classic. I mean, that team's going to be there. I mean, the Ravens, so there were more Raven fans than there were Charger fans. So I got to throw the Chargers in there.
Yeah, it's funny because Chargers games have become a destination for teams on the road. And
exactly.
If they play Jacksonville, it's like, oh, wait, oh, nobody's here. Wow.
Crickets.
I never see Jacksonville fans anywhere.
No, you don't.
Right? You don't.
Would you see Jacksonville fans in Jacksonville?
That's true.
I mean, that's one of those questions. If a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound?
Yeah.
I guess you have to literally be there to witness it. I'd be curious to see like what game day is on a Sunday in Jacksonville.
Yeah. I want to find out, do they still tarp the top of the stadium? Remember, this is a stadium that they sell out for the Florida-Georgia game, but then they used to tarp out sections of it with Jacksonville. And I don't know if they've gotten rid of that, but that used to be the thing. That used to be the thing they would do. So, but like if you know, I'd like to know, when you talk about passionate fan bases, how do you define that? What is it that they are buying tickets? I mean, isn't it true that a Packers season ticket wait list is like 100 years old? Like when you get on it, you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for like your grandchildren or something like that. I mean, it's just a long time to get on the waiting list. I don't know what he's talking about when it comes to passionate, other than to just pay lip service to the current group that you are appeasing. Right? Oh, I've been around the league and nobody does it like wherever I am right now. That kind of thing. Because again, I've seen the Steelers in like 6 different stadiums around the country. And every single time I am blown away by how well that team is represented on the road. Now, I'll never forget the AFC Championship game. The AFC Championship game. It still bothers people in Denver when the Steelers showed up for that title game before they went off to Super Bowl 40 against the Seattle Seahawks. And that place was alive with terrible towels. Way too many. Way too many. And I said, I don't know how in the world these people got these tickets. There must have been a lot of desperate, broke Bronco fans. Because I don't know how the Steelers came into town and bought tickets from people who had those tickets and needed to go and needed to represent. It was a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And somehow Steeler fans got a hold of a lot of tickets to the AFC title game. It was unreal. All right, say it. We're going to do Good, Bad, the Dumb coming up next. It's a Monday edition. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, the dumb for a Monday. We've had a whole weekend of news to peruse and to digest, so let's get the good.
News to peruse, I like that.
All right.
Well,
just made it up.
The good for a Monday is that here at SB Nation AM, we like to celebrate great athletic feats, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Well, we had two happen Friday. Thursday spilling into Friday before where we couldn't air it. We couldn't talk about it.
Okay.
And so we're going to talk about it now. First off, I'm going to recognize a high school sophomore. Her name is, what's her name? Shannon Becker. Because she deserves to be, we need to talk about her. She is a high school softball player from the state of New York, and she made a little bit of history last week.
Okay.
She threw the first perfect game in New York softball history.
Excellent.
Not only that, but it was a perfect, perfect game.
So three pitches. All right. Well, give me what the perfect, perfect game is.
Basically, softball game goes seven innings.
Right.
She had 21 strikeouts.
Oh, so she struck every single batter she faced.
She struck every single batter she faced.
My goodness. That's amazing. That really is amazing.
I mean, that's mind-blowing.
Like, nobody got a bat on the ball in 21 at-bats?
Right.
It's amazing.
I mean, save for a foul ball here or there, but yeah. No one got a base hit. No one.
All right.
I mean, no walk. I mean, 21 strikeouts. There wasn't a ground out. There wasn't a fly ball. 21 strikeouts.
Now, have you ever faced fast pitch softball before?
I haven't faced it, but because my son plays competitively and, you know, we're in batting cages a lot. I do see these pitchers, these girls throwing.
It's amazing.
I don't know if I'd want to even attempt to try to hit it.
I did in high school. We had a very, very, very good softball team. We won a lot of state championships in my high school for the smallness of our school. We won a lot of state titles. And the coach of the softball team he went on to coach Cornell for a long time. And I remember the girls that were really good, I was friends with and whatnot. And I remember just saying, I'd like to, you know, see this. So I got into a batting stance in the gym because they used to have the girls go into the gym and they used to throw against a mat. And I remember just standing there and I was like, let me just see what this is like. I couldn't believe how fast that was coming. And from the distance that they throw and how fast that comes in, it's really impressive hand-eye coordination.
Isn't it constantly, it's like rising too.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the good ones can make it do all sorts of stuff to it. It's really impressive. So that is a very, very good feat. Very good feat.
That just gave her a college scholarship right there.
Yeah, well done. That's excellent.
But 21, faced 21 players, had 21 strikeouts.
That's amazing.
The other athletic feat that we have to recognize, because I'm certain that he's listening right now.
Oh, sure.
Is Vladimir Putin.
I heard he did great.
He had 8 goals in an exhibition match the other day. And I don't know if you caught any of the highlights, but they were 8 magnificent goals. There was one in particular that I remember where he was standing just past the crease line. And he has the puck at the edge of his stick. And he's moving it from left, from right. And then he puts a hard shot. Well, maybe not hard. He shoots the puck. And the goalie, you know, makes an incredible, tries to make an incredible glove save and completely whiffs on it.
Oh, I missed it. Oh, my gosh. Yep. You got me then, Vladimir.
The best was the defender defending him kind of just skated right past him.
Oh, let me go after you. Happens. Oh, yeah, you have the puck. Watch me. Oh, look, you got past me.
When you have such athletic prowess as it is for Vladimir Putin, I mean, you are just in awe. And it throws you off your game.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah,
that's what I believe.
Yeah, because these people want to eat. That's basically it.
Basically, they don't want to end up on the firing squad, the front line. Like, oh, goodness guess gracious. What? You didn't let me score? Guess where you're working now?
You get embarrassed. You embarrass Vladimir in front of all these people.
So 8 goals for Putin.
Well done, Putin.
I mean, I that's not as good as what's his name, Kim Jong-un shooting 18. Yeah.
Shooting a 32 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, for 18 holes.
For 18 holes.
I thought he shot 18 for 18. Like he had 18 hole in ones.
Yeah, was I don't that, know. I don't think they went that wrong? Crazy, but okay. they did. It was close enough.
Yeah, I mean, the greatest golfer ever. The bad for, yes. And this one easily could have been dumb if I didn't have a different dumb. But the bad is San Diego Padres changed their Twitter username.
Did they really?
To Madres for Mother's Day.
Oh!
Padres was immediately get stashed up by some random kid.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. So rewind this for a second.
So
the Padres.
If sometime last week, say even Saturday, if you were following the Padres, you were following them at Padres. Then you wake up Sunday morning and the Padres like, you know what we should do for Mother's Day? We should change our handle and we should make it at Madres for moms.
For mom, right.
And somewhere in the course of as soon as they hit send or continue or submit or whatever it is, you know, that they agreed to change it to Madres, someone jumped all over the chance to grab at Padres.
Okay, so why can't you have both?
Well, you would think that would be the logical thing to talk about, right?
Is there a way to have, I don't know how it works. Is it, there's a way to have both? Like, say, I'm going to change my Twitter profile, my Twitter name, but I want to keep the other one in some other account.
Well, no, I think it's not, right? No, you can't do that. You can change your name instead of the top being San Diego Padres, you could have put San Diego Madres, Happy Mother's Day. You can change the name that appears, but you can't change your at.
Somebody's getting fired for this, right?
You'd have to be. Because, I mean, if you were this guy, his name is Ricky Padilla. He lives in the San Diego area and says at Padres. I mean, if you were him and you owned at Padres, how much is that worth to you?
Oh, I wouldn't settle for anything less than 7 figures.
Right?
I'd do at least $1 million.
Hey, you look over and say, hey, you just paid Manny $300.
Right.
I'm not going to ask for that.
I would do at least $1 million. Or, you know, if they don't want to budge on that, I would want... You know, what if they say, well, forget it. We ain't doing that. I would probably parlay that into season tickets for 20 years or something like that.
I mean,
or something.
You can see how this easily could have been the dumb. But, I mean, I just
now,
left
it at
that.
Now, what did the Padres go, all right, fine. We're SD Padres now. So, you know.
They could. I mean, they could do that. But I'm wondering right now, how many people are jumping all over it. And yeah. Like, oh, let's eat them all up.
See, wasn't it the early days of the internet, people squatting? Remember that was a thing? Early in the internet, like they would say, okay,
they would pick up domain names,
right? Because the internet was starting to come up, right? So you'd have a company like Sears, right?
I can't believe you said that.
Why?
I was thinking Sears as well.
The same thing. Oh, okay, God. Yeah. You'd have a company like
That's
Sears,
weird.
And they would be like, what is this new interweb thing? And they're like, well, eventually people can go online and see your product and buy stuff online. Oh, that's way too complicated. They like to go to the store. So somebody goes, well, maybe one day they'll change their mind. I'll buy Sears.com. Right?
Doesn't that seem so foreign to think about now? But I remember that being
completely.
The rage.
Yeah, that was the rage. So because these companies didn't really know what the technology was. They didn't know what the future was. They couldn't really see it. They couldn't really see what the year 2000, 2002, 2005, 2010 was going to be like. This was in the 90s. And so they were like, yeah, I'm not sure. So people would say, you know what? I'm going to bet on this. I'm going to buy this name, and I'm going to bet one day they're going to want this really badly. They're going to want this from me, and I'll charge them, you know, 100 grand or 50 grand or whatever it is. I'll just
depending
make a fortune.
Company, yeah.
Depending on the company, they'll eventually be able to get this from me because they're going to really, really, really want it.
Yeah, and especially it was all targeted, like mainly targeted towards retail stores.
Yeah, retail stores that really, again, didn't understand what this was going to be.
Yeah, right? Like how much of a moneymaker it is for, you know, a clothing store like, say, like Nordstrom's or like you did, Sears, JCPenney's, Macy's, for them just to have Macy's.com.
Exactly.
Instead of Macy'sForever.com or Macy's yep. Diamonds, you know, whatever it might be.
And
5-day
also,
sale.
The fear was also that somebody would have Macy's.com and they would turn it into something that has nothing to do with Macy's.
Yes.
And that when people would go, oh, Macy's, let me go see Macy's.com. And it would be totally different than this retail store. And then Macy's would feel a little backlash. So you would pay these people to get that. And that's how the people made a lot of money.
And to a certain extent, you still see it today with athletes.
Yeah, that's true.
You still, I mean, I don't see it so much with like actors and actresses. You still see it with someone with athletes. And that's why you never have, you know, just, you know, at Baker Mayfield.
Right.
Or something like that. It's always at something different with maybe a phrase or numbers involved. But yeah, no, but at Padres is now belong to one individual who will probably be coming rich very soon.
I wouldn't mind following that story as a follow up to see where we're going with that when it's all said and done. How he gets it back.
And yes, that was bad yesterday. Could have been dumb, but I saved my dumb especially because I was watching closely on Friday for the protest.
I saw this too.
The Lakers, the Laker fans decided to hold a protest out of in front of Staples Center, and they were there by the tens.
They were there by the tens. It was I was watching the jump
by the tens
with Rachel Nichols' show, which is outstanding, by the way. They did a great job.
It was,
and she had her like a producer. They were in Houston. She had a producer in L.A. And literally in the background, there was like four people.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
I'm not sure which one I was watching. I know I was watching, you know, it was something on ESPN on Friday. And I think I did count up to eight.
Maybe eight, yeah.
And I want to say that it eventually grew. There was, I know there was never 100, but I think there were multiple sets of tens.
What were they protesting?
Just the state of Lakerness right now that, you know, because you got to remember, this is before Frank Vogel was signed.
That's right. That's right.
So it was Magic just all of a sudden just up and quitting. Couldn't land a coach. The whole debacle with, Tylon Rue will sign.
No, they butchered that.
Okay. And I'm not sure. Maybe I'm missing something because I haven't really seen why any coach you sign with the Lakers, now it turns out to be Frank Vogel, why he must have Jason Kidd as an assistant coach.
I don't get that at all. That sounds like career suicide to me, or at least job suicide for Frank Vogel. If you start screwing up, there's a head coach that is right on your bench.
Right.
Like, you don't want this.
What I heard, Tyronn Lue was on board with that. They just offered him 3. He wanted 5-year.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Now, Tyronn Lue did not want to be piggybacked onto the deal with LeBron James.
Yeah.
He said, no, I'm your guy. Like, I'm your coach. LeBron or no LeBron, I'm the guy for your going forward. And they're like, nah, we're going to tie it to LeBron because that's who you, that's why you're coming here. And he's like, I don't want that. I want to, you got LeBron for 3 years. I want 5 because I want to be your coach. They're like, nah, you're LeBron's. And they got butchered.
I mean, so you can understand, like, you know, the frustration for Laker fans, and you know, rightfully so. There should be a lot of frustration for Laker fans. But I've never seen a professional team fan base hold a debate. If anyone should have ever held a debate, it should have been the Cleveland, or not a debate, protest, should have been the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
Cleveland Browns had every right to protest.
Sure they do.
To march the city streets of Cleveland, Ohio. But, you know, lo and behold, I mean, Laker fan base, it kind of goes to show you what kind of fans actually do show up for Laker games.
Yeah, that's true.
They can sell out every single game all year long. But when it comes time to, like, you know, do they really, really care? You know, they show up by the tens.
Just don't screw this up. Don't, Rob Pincus and Jeannie Buss, don't screw this up.
Oh, Frank they're
Vogel.
Going to.
I got to make it a big, big disaster.
Yeah, that's going to
big disaster.
That's going to be a fun. You know, it's like it's almost like Cleveland's second coming, the Browns' second coming.
All right, that's the good and bad and the dumb on a Monday as we roll along on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the NBA draft lottery is going to be Tuesday. The Knicks have a 14% chance of landing Zion Williamson. I'll just call it that, the Zion sweepstakes. All right, so the New York Post wanted to remind New Yorkers that there is no way the NBA could rig this draft lottery anymore. Basically pointing out that there's going to be a number of ping pong balls in the machine, and that there's going to be four ping pong balls that pop up to create a four-digit code. The Knicks have 140 of the different codes that can come up, so therefore they have a 14% chance. And basically there is a machine. There's 14 ping pong balls mixed in a lottery machine for 20 seconds. The first ball is drawn by the VP of NBA events, and then the machine is turned over for another 10 seconds. The scramble the ball, and they're going to withdraw. Basically keep taking the ping pong balls out until you create the code. And then if the Knicks are one of the 140 codes, they're going to win the pick. It's not like the old days where the accusation of David Stern rigging the draft for Patrick Ewing centered around either two things. One, a crease that was in the envelope, because they used to just put a bunch of envelopes in a bin and spin it around. If you're not old enough to remember that, you've probably seen video of it, where David Stern would put envelopes into a bin. He would rotate the bin, then he would reach in and he would grab it, and then he would say, this is for pick number one, this is for pick two, right? And then they would go around and open up the envelopes. Well, there was always a belief that either A, there was a crease that he could identify which envelope to pull that said the Knicks, or two, that the envelope had been frozen and thus was colder, and that's how to do it. The New York Post is claiming that there's going to be watch people, there's going to be a correspondence monitoring the ping pong ball. But let me tell you something, if they could fix it, they'd fix it.